Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly no one asked for this podcast. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am also shocked that I am still this far of when I'm back that I'm actually doing this. I keep forgetting that I'm like officially recording again. So I'm like literally this whole week I was like, wait, don't I have to do something? And then like Saturday today comes around and I'm like, oh right, now I know what it is. Wow, ladies and gents, I don't know how long today's episode is gonna be because I literally forgot that I'm doing this still, but we're trying our hardest. I have no notes. Actually, usually I have like a Google Doc pulled up and everything, and I've done in-depth research and analysis on like whatever topic in question is, but today, no, I know the topic at hand, but I don't know what Shima calls it. Como se dice? Like, okay, yeah, I actually lost my train of thought. Classic me. But anyways, it is Saturday, or essentially the weekend. I have myself a little Simply Spiked watermelon lemonade. Like, ever since Simply Lemonade introduced their seltzers, I honestly, my personal favorite flavor is the, what's it called, the blueberry flavor. I think that's like their fucking top one. But I checked in my fridge, my alcoholic fridge, if you will, and I ran out of that one. So honestly, I'm gonna open this up. I'm literally, mind you, I'm opening this like can because my nails are done right now. I have gel nails on right now, and they're like the size of like, I don't know, death worthy of like, you know, stabbing someone in the throat long. So I'm gonna have to open it with a bottle cap of a drink I had a long time ago. So with that being said, today's episode, super fun time, super, you read the fucking title, we're gonna fucking get into it. But anyways, grab a drink, grab your favorite drink, coffee, tea, what's it called, your favorite alcoholic drink. If you're into beer, I'm honestly sorry, I'm a fake Latina for that, because I honestly think beer is honestly Satan's piss in a bottle and sold overpriced. But anyways, we're gonna do some ASMR, so we're gonna pop some open. And here we go. Oh, I forgot a straw. Oh well. You'll hear that fizz? I know that's right. All right, y'all. Let's get into today's episode. Bye. And we're back, ladies and gents. So I also forgot to mention in the intro that, what's it called? I have yet to have the ability to download any program that lets me kind of record in one long audio for the whole episode. So I can only record in like 30-minute increments. So like I said, I don't know how long this episode is going to be because I literally just pulled it out of my ass today. But nonetheless, yeah, so 30-minute increments. So I'm on the first 30 minutes now, but this is actually just on a more important note. I still want to keep reminding y'all, like, every episode that I can about what's going on in Palestine and everything. I know I talked about it on my comeback episode, and I dedicated my comeback episode to that. Obviously, what minimal influence do I have, you know? It's just, like, I just think it's just so hard to ignore, like, and like I said in my previous comeback episode, like, I really believe that posting about it is important, yeah, but I feel like the more in-person conversations matter more. I feel like those are where the most change happens. But still, here I am to remind you, just keep up to date with what's going on, whether you post about it or not. The very least, you can just see what you can boycott. I stopped going to Starbucks. I never go to McDonald's, so that was an easy L for me. I'm like, or easy W, sorry, to not really go there. Support local businesses, support Palestinian businesses. Once again, support anyone really right now that really needs help. Support Palestinian creators, entrepreneurs, artists. I'll actually tell you one right now, Saint Levant. I actually don't know his actual name. I don't think he's ever really publicized his actual name, but I've been following him for a while. He's a musician that went viral for like that one song on TikTok where it was like, I want to take you to Paris and spoil you. All credits, don't copyright me. All credits to Saint Levant. Okay. I'm just trying to get the word out of he exists and he's from Palestine himself. So I've been following him a lot. I also really love his music. I think he has really great music, and his vision for music right now is like really dope, I think. He's one musician that I really like that's also Palestinian. I did see someone else that he was promoting. He was actually a 16-year-old rapper from Palestine. I don't remember his name though, but if you go on Saint Levant's Instagram, he's the one that could probably direct you to other Palestinian creators, musicians, and other talents in the midst. So Saint Levant, I'll probably be linking all of this below as well. Another business I've heard recently, I didn't even know until literally this year, until what was going on, Phil's Coffee in LA. I had no idea that was Palestinian owned. I had no idea. I've only been there once, and I'm not going to lie, it was not my favorite coffee shop, but I will sacrifice my desires for coffee. I'll probably order something else on their menu. Okay, maybe a matcha. Okay. We support Palestinian businesses. Okay, it was not my personal favorite, but I didn't even know how to order there. It was my first time there. I was like, how do I even order? Because apparently it's like a specific way of ordering. Nonetheless, Phil's Coffee is like literally all over LA and California, so you're bound to find one. You can literally Google Phil's Coffee near me if you live in California, especially LA, and you'll find some good options or locations near you. And if you've never, you know, been, make a day out of it. You know, you can just go out and if you never had Phil's Coffee, you can be like, you know what? I have to run errands this day. I'm going to go do this that day. And Phil's Coffee is right there so I can make a little coffee stop, you know? I'm a big fan of coffee and just like trying new coffee shops. I think that honestly, it's just like a really nice time for me. It's like a personal time, especially I like doing it on Sundays. I just love to grab coffee in my favorite coffee shop and call it a day. And you know what? Phil's Coffee can be your new favorite coffee shop if you live in LA. And what else? I feel like... just keep boycotting, just keep seeing what's going on, like, just keep an eye out, honestly, just be aware. Knowledge is power, believe it or not, and I think that it'd be really reckless of me to just not remind you guys that it's still going on, and it has been going on, okay, not just as of October 7th, okay, do your research, like, it's been going on for some time, but I don't want to get into it too much today, because that'd be too much rambling, and honestly, you can just Google is quite free. And you can definitely do that. Ignore Western media, especially right now more than ever, the U.S. media, about what's going on there. Trust all stuff that you can see. If anything, go on Eyes on Palestine on Instagram and you'll see like what's really going down there, like in real time. So, but yeah, I will just, you know, it's really hard to even transition to like what's next. Like we're going to talk about something deep as well, but not as deep as something like this, you know, but nonetheless, I'm just trying to do what I can. I feel like that's what I can really provide. I'm more of a creative in all aspects, and I love to support people's businesses, especially my friends, and just, I don't know, if I can support, I will, you know, and nonetheless, we can just transition, but I just want to remind you guys, just, you know, keep an eye out for what's going on in the news, especially overall, and yeah, so I'll see you guys in a bit. And we're back, ladies and gents. So I am actually currently drinking on an empty stomach. So if y'all notice the difference of when I, you know, start feeling this simply spiked watermelon lemonade, you will know. But it's only one can. And honestly, it's only 5% alcohol. So to be fair, that's not going to do shit for me. But just in case, you know. But like I mentioned earlier, I will be reiterating again that this program only allows me to record in 30-minute increments. So like I said, I don't know how long this video or, well, sorry, this podcast is going to be. But nonetheless, you read today's title. It's going to be Creativity Analysis for 2024. I kind of just been drafting in my head like how I want to like break this episode down already. And like I said, I don't know how long it's going to be. It could be 4 hours because I can talk about creativity for literally hours, days, weeks, months, years. But since we don't have days, hours, and or days, weeks, months, years to talk about it, I feel like creativity is such a multi-layered concept and also self-defined, if that makes sense. My sister recommended me this book, and I also will be linking the title of it in the description, that honestly is changing my life right now. I'm not a big reader, but it's an audiobook, and it is included in Spotify audiobooks. So in case you're a Spotify girly or a Spotify baddie and you don't want to go and subscribe to like Audible or whatever and pay something extra when it's included in your membership with Spotify, you can't, or your membership plan or whatever with Spotify, if you're a Spotify girly, it's called The Creative Act by author Rick Rubin. He's the one that narrates the audiobook. I consider audiobooks now more of like podcasts, like same energy, just way longer. But yeah, Spotify introduced like Spotify introduced audiobooks, and as of, I think, like recently, maybe like a month at most. And I didn't know, I wanted to see, if The Creative Act by Rick Rubin was on there included, and I found that it was included with my subscription, and I just gave it a go, started listening to it, and only the opening credits I've been to this far, and I think the preface, you know, it's just so, it's like broken down so weirdly on Spotify, me personally thinks that way, but it goes by chapters and all that, like a regular book, you know. And I think a couple things have stood out to me in regards to creativity, because it is about, you know, understanding your creativity, where it stems from, the origins of creativity, what even is considered creativity. And if you're listening to this and you don't really consider yourself a creative, this episode is still for you. Like, I don't want you to feel like this is solely for people that have creative minds and they have one talent they're really good at and you see them post about it or advertise themselves, really. But to be fair, we're all creative in our own way. Basically, that's how the episode or the book has been starting off in Rick Rubin's audiobook, that basically it's like one, self-defined, and also you can decide what is considered creativity. Every person has their own version of it. However, I think the most common factor of creativity that he mentions is that we're all creative in our own way. We are meant to be creative in some aspect, whether it's rearranging your room late at night, because I know I have been there. Ooh, I have been there, to making an album. You know, there's so many different forms of creativity. And I want to analyze today maybe my personal creative look, like creative analysis for myself in 2024, like what will be the next thing for me. And kind of reflecting on what creativity has been to me this year, as you know, it's basically December now, y'all. Like, the reflections are, I mean, I do self-reflecting literally every single day in every aspect of my life. Been doing that since a kid. You know, you got to reflect on the things that happen to you and your current situation and where you're at and stuff. But it's time to reflect on creativity this year, and also you might want to take some time to do this for yourself. We can do it together, girl. We can do it together through the phone or just like through the headphones. Hi, girly. But I would like to define myself creative, yes. And as of actually recently, I found out that my sister, because we're both creatives, like we both are, like if we're going to talk about technicality, like we both are creatives technically, and just different things, different fields and different industries. But my sister was telling me like a little while ago, earlier in like mid-November, she was telling me how like, yeah, I mean, like I was probably gonna do something math related, you know, like kind of chem related or math related, but then I wanted to do cool shit and make cool shit one day, and I just literally had to learn all on my own how to do that. Just, you know, just on my own, you know? And when I heard that, because to be fair, my sister and I are, I believe, 9 to 10 years apart. So I'm 24, she's 34. She's actually gonna be 35 this December, Sag season. Oh, shout out Sag season. I love my bad bitches. I love me a Sag woman. Sag men, I don't know. You guys are very case by case scenarios, for real. I have been a victim of Sag men twice. Still am currently. Anyways, but my sister, she was telling me all that, and I was like, since, yeah, my sister and I are 10 years apart, really, I've only known her since I was born, you know, she was probably like, what, 9, 10, 11, 12 when I was born, so I haven't known her like my whole life, you know, like, it's weird to think about that, like, your siblings that are a lot older than you, they have known you your whole life, but you haven't known them their whole life. It's kind of weird when you think about it. It's kind of anyways, though, but she was telling me this, and I was like, in my head, I was like, wait, I thought you always knew. I thought like that was your thing. I thought that was always your thing. I don't know. And for me, like ever since I was like born, really, I think that the only time I had a different career outlook of what I wanted to do with my life was when I was like, what? Like in elementary school, I wanted to be a scientist. I didn't really know that there was different fields of science at that time. I just told my parents I wanted to be a scientist. That's all I knew. And then I got to 10th grade and I realized, I was like, oh no, the fuck I don't, because I had to take chemistry. Yeah, chemistry in 10th grade as a sophomore in high school. And I can assure you right now, I learned nothing from that class. Yep, I learned nothing. Do I remember anything? No. And then the second things got too hard, where you were bringing math into science, I was like, oh, you lost me. You lost me. Oh no, sir. And so I was like, hell fucking no, man. I'm not about to be a scientist no more, you know? And by that time, my freshman year of high school, I already got introduced to dance. Even before that, years prior too. I was an ABDC fan. For those who don't know, America's Best Dance Crew was literally such a good show. Oh, I was obsessed with it. Bring it back. Bring America's Best Dance Crew back. I'm so fucking for real. If I had the money, I would fund that shit myself. But bring that shit back for real. Run that back. But for, yeah, who those who don't know, in early 2010s, America's Best Dance Crew was like that show. I think it was even into the late 2000s that it was like really popping, and into the 2010s primarily. I'm just guessing. I'm pretty much assuming, but I'm like 90% sure. Nonetheless, America's Best Dance Crew changed my life. I watched it and stuff like that. And that's where I really fell in love with dance. I was what, maybe 14, 13, youngest 12, maybe. So when I thought in my mind for the longest time I wanted to be a scientist, that at that time I didn't even know I wanted to pursue dance seriously. I just really loved doing it at that time. I never really thought it could be like a major career for me. So I was like, yeah, I want to be a scientist, but also like, hello, like dance is like my hobby that I love, you know? And then I took chemistry in 10th grade. I was like, oh, I gotta find something else because I'm not doing that shit. And from there on out up into now, where I'm 24, gonna be 25 next year. Oh God, I really can't even fathom that thought right now. Ew, yeah, I hate it when you're 25 and not successful yet. Yeah, that's where it really hits me real hard, y'all. Whoo. But anyways, I think that was when I made that career switch mentally. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta find something else. But every day after that 10th grade experience, I knew for a fact that creativity was rooted in me. It was meant to be for me. And every day after that, to this present day, I don't really see myself doing anything else that isn't in some form of creativity. It can be a creativity form in some different format. It can be in art, it can be in dance, it can be in fashion and stuff, but I just know it may be different branches of creativity, but it is like, what's it called? Still some form of creativity to an extent, you know? And as I reflect on this right now, I'm trying to think of like, what has been the biggest lesson of this year, primarily, or just overall, that took me a really long time to realize. And I think it has to deal with, well, actually, like I said, I've been in creativity my whole life. It's just like the only thing I feel like I know and can do relatively well. Like, I feel like I can't really do much else very well. Like, I can do social media, but I feel like it's not really, it doesn't take really rocket science being social media, or like be good at it at least. You just have to be entertaining, and I am that exactly, so I'm not really worried. And also, I was watching Emma Chamberlain's podcast or an interview with her last night. I kind of dozed off midway because it was like almost a 2 hour long podcast. Bear with me, you know. And I also found out that she's a Gemini just like me, so I'm like, okay, queen. Never mind, you Gemini rights, okay? Gemini rights, all right. Word to Steve Lacy, okay. Gemini writes. And so what's it called? She was talking about, I mean, for those who don't know Emma Chamberlain, she's like that bitch. Like, I fucking love her. And for anybody that's a big Emma Chamberlain hater, I don't understand really why. She's literally the most like normal person I've ever seen on social media. She seems dope. I don't know. I don't know her personally, but I think from what I can see, she seems really cool and she seems really chill about life. She just does her shit, gets paid, and does it again. You know, it's like a simple life. And honestly, I really want that for me personally. For those who don't know, she went viral like in late 2010 or like, no, 2016, 17. She was a big YouTuber. She was like uploading consistently. She was doing like trendy stuff at that time. And she was uploading consistently, like maybe like 2 to 4 times a week. And yeah, she was getting hella money. Her editing style was super funny. For those who don't know, her editing style is actually pretty dope. And she, she introduced like the whole like quirky, silly editing that a lot of people use to this day. You know, like she really started like an editing concept, bro. I will give her that. I will give her the flowers where it's due. But I was like, you know, I've been following her for a while and like I've seen like her up and down, like her change as an adult, you know, like she's like almost the same age as me. Maybe she's like a year younger. We're not that far apart in age. And seeing someone like nearly my age, basically, going that famous and viral and successful and stuff like that to, you know, where she is now, where she's more chill, more mellow. She just like does stuff for Instagram primarily. She's no longer really a YouTuber. She's like, whatever. I was listening to her podcast really, or this interview with her, and she was talking about how important, you know, it is to just accept where you are creatively, even though it's so hard to do so. It feels like you shouldn't. It feels like you need to be doing more. And then the times that you do more, you burn out, you exhaust yourself. And yeah, it's like, what does it pay, really? It's like, sure, you're going to get that check. Absolutely. Or you may be working very hard to get to that point where you're making a lot of money. But it also comes with a price, man. It also comes with a price. Like everything in life, man, no matter what it is, bro, comes at a price. Doesn't matter what it is. It won't always be like physical money, obviously. It's more of like a metaphorical sense. Like, yo, things in life cost you. And karma is very real. I'm a big believer in karma, bro. What you do to others will definitely, one, reflect on you, and two, exactly happen to you in a different way. It's absolutely real. So truly, when I catch myself about to do something crazy, I'm like, oh, I will get really bad karma if I do that. So I will not be doing that. So, but yeah, I've been like really, I'm going to probably actually rewatch that podcast with Emma Chamberlain, because I did love some of the points that were making both of the interviewers and her herself. The interviewers in question, I don't remember their names, but I definitely want to revisit them as well. I believe they said that in the podcast in that episode they majored in film, so they obviously have a really good outlook on YouTube and content as a whole. So I'm like, okay, I definitely see like where your opinion matters here. Like I definitely want to know more. And it's just like an interesting conversation, really. If you're not even into Emma Chamberlain or YouTubers like that, I feel like it's a good conversation amongst like 3 people in total in a podcast where you can just simply listen to social media and like content and just like, one, get inspiration, and two, kind of get your creative juices flowing and whatever it is, you know, and three, just like kind of just being in, pretending to be in that room, you know, like where you're like the fourth person behind that fourth wall, you know, and you can like relate or you can just see. Cause like when she was saying some stuff, I was like, damn girl, you really get me. Like you just like me for real, queen. Like, so honestly, like, well, that was a big sip. Damn. I forgot that this is also like sparkly. Oh my God. Sparkly drinks have been beating my ass lately. Y'all, I'm sorry. Oh, the burp is coming. The burp is forming. Anyways though. But yeah, if you're ever looking for a good podcast in regards to creativity, social media, I would say also creativity analysis, like this is called right now today, I would recommend that podcast. I will be linking it. Not sponsored. But yeah, I feel like, you know, reflecting on creativity, like I said, I feel like I've always known essentially my whole life that my life is meant to be in something creative. And I, for a long time, pushed it away, in denial about it for however long it feels like. Up until present day, I'm still a little bit in denial about it because it's a very unreliable field and industry, and everything is changing left and right, and having to adjust is also very scary, especially at such a rapid pace, you know? Like social media used to be, like if we're going to talk about strictly YouTube, like before YouTube was like all about ads and fame and fortune and shit like that, like people were uploading like really long ass videos and a lot of good skits and stuff like that. And people sat through all of it. Like, if you uploaded a 14-minute episode today, bitch, you better make that every single episode or every single minute entertaining, because I'm not going to stick around. And even when it is entertaining, I'm like, if it's a really long vlog of someone I'm watching, I'm like, damn, like, are we wrapping this up? Like, the attention span of a human right now, all things to social media, has really just alarmingly decreased. It's like, the attention span that I have is like a Vine. Straight up, if you know, you know. Honestly, Vine was 6 seconds long, bro. If you could capture my attention in 6 seconds, bitch, and make it entertaining for every millisecond in that damn 6 seconds, then that was a W. Like, if we're really going to analyze, you know, social media and whatnot, and, you know, creativity and where it all stems from, it's like, it's really just depending on the creator themselves, you know? Me, I feel like I've always been not like a content creator, but more of someone that likes to have an online persona. I love having an online persona, bitch. I love it. Oh my God, y'all will never figure me out, for real. Me right now, I'm being real with you, like most of the time. Like, for the most part, my online persona and presence is like silly, but also somewhat a little bit real. And on Twitter, it's like completely different. I don't care if you guys call it X, all right? It's not fucking X. It's Twitter. On Twitter, though, I be saying the most unhinged shit my head can think of, right? Whatever silly little goofy shit I come up with in my head, I'm putting that shit in a tweet. Like, it can be the most deranged, the most insane, the most vulgar, the most crazy shit. And I will post it. I don't care about no digital footprint, because I know that my industry forever and always will be in creativity. So, like, I don't really worry about applying for, like, an actual job, because, and if I do, it's going to be a job related to creativity. So I'm like, I'm not really worried about, like, the unhinged shit I tweet, because it's like, one, if you're going to hire me, I want you to hire me for all of me, all of my silly little shit, my silly little goofy jokes, my unhinged tweeting, my unhinged, like, personality most of the time. And I want that to be how I get paid, bro. That's really what it is. And it's something I've always believed in. I feel like the one thing constantly in regards to creativity analysis that I've always stuck with is, like, if you're not, like, yourself, or you're going to be a persona that you commit to, then you're not going to get, like, a niche audience, you're not gonna get booked for anything, you're not gonna get paid for a lot of things, because it's so clear when someone's faking shit for views and trying to be authentic, and it's so obvious, bro. And me, I've always been like a real bitch. Like, I've always been someone that at least tries to be very real and be honest about the shit I've done, the shit I've been through, the shit I deal with now. And if we're gonna talk about happy things, just like silly things, you know, I'm a person that's very outspoken. I'm a person that is funny. I've always been funny, and not even sucking my own dick. Like, people have told me that I'm funny every day. Okay. Like, I'm not sucking my own dick. Okay. People have told me that I'm funny. Ever since I was a kid, I've been witty. It's just who I am. It's how I, one, market myself, and two, who I am. Like, I am unhinged. I am funny. I am vulgar and loud and expressive about shit that, one, I either care about, or two, I'm just really funny about, you know? And if you're listening to this and, like, you're creatively speaking, or you're a creative as well, it's like, dude, like, if you commit to who you are in a creative aspect, you're gonna find your audience. I think the biggest lesson I've learned this year, and that I will take into 2024 and forever and always, is the acceptance and freedom it feels to just know that whether you put out the worst thing you've ever posted or the best thing you've ever posted, your work is not for everyone. And that's also very hard for me to accept currently. But the biggest expectation is, or no, the biggest lesson that I want to keep carrying into 2024 and so on, is limiting the expectations, yes, but primarily having none. And I know everyone says that. It's like, well, I actually raise you even not even having no expectations, just remaining neutral is a big lesson. I feel like one of my big lessons that I want to take into 2023, creatively speaking, and outside of that as well, is like remaining neutral in some things that should be remaining neutral. And here's like an example. I'm currently in a dance company. It's actually going to be wrapping up this December, at least for me. Maybe into January if I have the funds to do so. But nonetheless, I feel like I applied for this dance company maybe late, sometime in August or a little bit before that this year. And like I said, I didn't even say yet. I didn't think much of it because I knew that I know a lot of dance companies, they put you through hell to apply to their company. Obviously, as they should, you need to be, you know, qualified to what you're applying for, or at least working your way to being on that spot, to be being the best you can be. And I was like thinking of like, you know, applying to some dance companies. And I had primarily one in mind of the teacher that trained me, her company. But before I could even apply, the company that I'm in right now, Troupe Dance Company, named after Antoine Troupe. He's also a dancer and choreographer and insanely talented, like, bro. Like, and honestly, I didn't know who he was. Okay, I still don't know his entire career background, but he's, like, done really dope shit. And knowing him as, like, you know, as a teacher and a mentor and also maybe even a friend one day has been insane. But nonetheless, the example in question is I applied to this, you know, this dance company, and I didn't think of it. Like, I opened the format, or like, no, I had recently followed Antoine on Instagram, and then I started following his dance company, or I think he posted on his story, like, promoting his dance company, being like, hey, you guys can join, here's how to sign up, here's the format, you can train with us in LA, or you can train with us in online and stuff like that, so whatever your preference is. And so I applied, because it was like a Google form, and like I read the whole Google form. I was like, do I need to upload like any videos? Like, I was literally on the toilet when I did it, bro. I was literally taking the fattest shit of my life, and I was like applying to this dance company. That's how easy it should be, okay? For all dance companies out there, please make it that easy. I don't want to jump through hoops just to apply. Just like, bear with me. We got to find some middle ground. But nonetheless, it was a Google form. I filled it out with every question answered, and I applied. And I went about my day, and then the following weeks after that, I literally did not even think about it. I completely forgot that I applied. And then one day I checked my email, and then I was subscribed to their newsletter, but I didn't see like any like email saying, congratulations, you got accepted, whatever. And then like maybe like 2 hours later, I got the email saying, hey, congratulations, we'd like to offer you a spot. And I was like, to be fair, I even like read the like email and I was like, wait, what is this for? I don't even remember. Like, because I was applying to jobs and a bunch of stuff I was seeing on Instagram, like postings, like job listings, freelance stuff during that time as well. So I applied to so many different things. I like lost track of what I applied for. And here we are, bro. Like, I didn't think much of it. Like, that's what I mean when I say don't have any expectations and remain neutral. Because like, I literally forgot that I applied to this dance company. And it happened. Like, I completely forgot. It was like in the universe. I left it alone. I didn't even think twice about it, bro. I went about my days the following weeks, like doing my usual routine, like laundry, like, you know, cooking every night, going to work, like, you know, just doing it and dancing at home. Like, that was my whole regime prior to this dance company. And then I get accepted and I had to, you know, the shifting of the routines and, you know, planning your workouts and exercising and training amongst that, plus outside of the training sessions and stuff. So I'm at 30 minutes, basically, but that's where I'll leave off, you know, for this first half. But that's what I mean with like having no creative expectations, just remaining neutral, like, because once you do something creatively and you just leave it in the universe, it's so freeing. It's so freeing. And I want to keep doing that. Especially, it's really hard when you're like doing it for something you really, really want. Especially like I've learned this year that like all the jobs I've desperately wanted, like in regards to like any other field aside from dance, like the ones that one pay, all right, that pay mamas, I live at home, it would be all for me. All the money would be for me and helping around the house. Okay. I was going to be doing very well financially if I got any of those jobs. But I didn't, which is tragic. Cherry on top. And also very annoying. The job market, you can suck my fucking dick and choke on it. But I got a little angry there, and I still am, and petty, I always will be. But the reason is that like I would apply to these jobs and like I wanted them very badly. So I feel like even that makes a difference. Like you desiring something and you working towards that is great, yes. But when you think about it too much, it also feels like it's not right either. You gotta find that balance, and we're gonna work on that next year. I feel like that's my creative goal. My major one is like, yes, I may want this job badly. I may want this booking really badly and whatnot. I may want this audition really badly. But if I think about it too much and not leave it in the hands of the universe or whatever higher power you believe in, I feel like we'll really do a lot of harm than it does good. So I will leave with that. And we're going to transition into the second 30 half. But yeah, I feel like that's the concept that we're going to revisit in 2 seconds. And we're back for the second half, besties. Let's go. Yeah. Also, I'm realizing that y'all can hear me drink and sip. So I'm sorry if that grosses you out, but I don't give a fuck. Anyways, okay. So the other half of this episode is probably going to be a little bit shorter. Only because, like, honestly, like, we left off on, you know, how and examples of, you know, remaining neutral when it comes to creativity and, you know, finding your audience and stuff like that. And to be fair, like, I have built that in a very slow, steady pace. And also just like in increments, I feel like there are people that will reach out to me and be like, yo, you're so funny. Like, you're so dope. I love like the stuff you post on Twitter or on IG. You're so real. But like all those things. And I'm not even saying that to brag. Like I'm saying that because it's true. Like I get that every other week. Like it's not me like sucking my own dick, bro. Like I'm being honest here. And honestly, like I am really thankful for that immensely, you know. And I feel like I'm slowly but surely like letting go of, you know, the need for, you know, validation in that. I feel like when, if you're going to be in creativity and, you know, any form of social media or just in general, like stuff that you put out into the world, whether it's via social media, whether it's in person showcasing or performance and stuff like that, to even, you know, hosting events, you know, like anything in this subject counts, of course, right? But it's also like, I would say just do it because you desire to and you want to. And of course, getting paid is obviously fucking important. And pay your dancers, by the way, pay your fucking dancers and creative directors. I'm so fucking serious, bro. But my point is that it matters at the end of the day. Like, sure, getting paid, obviously. Who doesn't want that, you know? And it does take a long time to accept the tragedy of realizing the money will come. Yes, it does. It always does. When you work hard, you get rewarded. That's how the law of attraction works. That's how life operates. But it does come with a lot of patience, bro. I have considered giving up creativity as a form of career because it wasn't making me any money. Like, okay, I'm gonna be real right now. In the 80 plus episodes that I have on my Spotify and Apple podcasts, right? From the 80 episodes in total, I'm gonna be real with y'all because nobody ever wants to talk about finances when it comes to creativity and how they've made it and shit like that. And by the way, when I make it, bitch, y'all are gonna know how much I make because let's be fucking honest about it. I don't care if that's like against the cultural grind, if it's like taboo. I don't give a fuck because it's actually important to know this information, okay? Because every person's story of like how they got to where they're at is different, and how much money they've made is also very different. But I'll be real. Like I said, I have 80 plus episodes. I'm going on like 90. I'm almost at 100 episodes of this podcast. Okay. Taking a break and all of that, right? Included. I have made a total of $6.29. $6.29. Do you know that can only get me one iced latte at my favorite coffee shop? And still not be enough for food, mind you. My girl math essentially is like measuring money off of how many iced coffees I can get because I'm that much of a coffee fiend. So $6.29 can get me like a good solid iced latte. It can get me like with the oat milk, the flavor shot, whatnot, you know? I can go to Dunkin' and get that shit and have like a good amount like ready to go. with, but I need you guys to realize it's not fucking fun and games. Like, it's hard. It's hard. All right. And I obviously want to make this podcast a little bit better because, you know, I'm kind of doing bare minimum right now and I'm trying really hard to like try to find the balance of like time management and like creativity plus also doing like real life things, you know, like cleaning and bullshit like that, like cooking and going to the gym and maintaining, you know, your health and wellness, but also balancing, you know, being on a computer all day and like kind of just posting shit and bumping things out or meeting up with people to collaborate and then, you know, filming things. And, you know, it's really hard to do all of those things. And I really want to prioritize that in all of 2024 to realize that it's like, it's all about time management. It's all possible. Just a matter of time management. And I will be trying to do that more. I really, really, really want to get back into time management again and just bettering myself in that because I feel like my whole year of time management has been pretty bad. But I will get there. You know, I've done it before. I can do it again, you know. But yeah, $6.29, you guys. Like, I need you guys to realize that's all I've made. All I've made in this, you know, entire 4 years of, you know, what's it called? Podcasting and whatnot. And not to say I'm not grateful for that anyways. It can get me a nice latte, okay? I'm cool with that. If I cash it out, I get a nice latte in return. I'm cool with that. That's my girl math of the day. But I need you guys to realize it's that gruesome. And if I were uploading this whole year, I would probably make maybe a total of maybe $8, okay? Like, and when I say I've been making $6.29 as a total of right now, that was when I was pushing out episodes once a week for 3 to 4 years straight, okay? Yeah, it probably would have been more if I, you know, obviously uploaded more, but I was a student at that time. I didn't have that fucking time. I had to do papers and shit. No. But nonetheless, and I was also working, mind you, on top of that. So nonetheless, you know, I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna be honest. Like, that's where it's at. And I'm, you know, not ungrateful, obviously. It's just frustrating sometimes, you know? It's like, well, I mean, $6.29. Okay, where are we going? Dunkin'? Because I can afford at least some coffee there. Like, I can afford maybe my usual once. Yeah. And it sucks to realize every now and then, you know? It does come at a price, like I said, and it comes with a lot of patience. But also, I realized that this year, for me to combat that negative feeling of being like, oh, I'm not getting paid for shit, this sucks. The only way you can get paid is if you have some form of experience. And I know that these places never want to give you experience when you do offer the job or like you do apply for the jobs in question that are in related to the field of creativity that you're, you know, obviously applying for. But also it comes with, you know, having the portfolio be solid. Like, look, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I've applied to so many creative jobs this whole year. I've gotten none of them. Not one. I've lost count of how many I've applied for. And to me, it made me so crazy this whole year. I would cry every day about it. I would, what's it called? I would be just really frustrated. It would really take a toll on my mental health to the point where, like, one, when I was back in therapy, I was, like, crying every session because I was, like, so fucking frustrated. Like, it gets to that point. I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't had that epiphany already. I have more than once of, you know, is this worth it? Is it going to pay off? But I need you guys to realize that if you're in that field of creativity, whatever it is, by the way, like, it doesn't have to be necessarily dancing. It doesn't have to be performing. It doesn't have to be any of that. It can be fashion. It can be art. It can be whatever you deem as creative, you know? Maybe you have a talent I don't even have. Like, there are people that are artists, like actual painters and digital artists. I'm like, dog, I'm gonna be real with you. I can't even draw a straight fucking line, all right? And you can draw like a portrait of a human being. I could never. That's talent to me, you know? And someone would say that about me. Like, they can see me dancing, like, bitch, I can't move my back like that. I can't move my hips like that. You know, like, we can all learn something from each other. But it does get to a point, like, this year was a really big test for me in regards to, like, you know, is this worth it at this point? Is this creative field worth it for me? Is it going to be something I can rely on? And I'm gonna be real, even when you make it in regards to creativity, even when you're big and famous and everybody loves your work and stuff like that, you can easily fade out 1,000% overnight or in the next hour. And it's not a steady income job. Or career, if that makes sense. Because that, to me, is already scary to me. You know, like, that's where I've been pulling back so much from it. Because it's like, it doesn't bring me, you know, guaranteed income every month. You know, it has to be something that you have to take into perspective. And to me, I'm trying to find that balance right now of like a career I can rely on financially while also doing, you know, my creative work on the side where I really want to take my full career to, you know, like we have to be realistic here. Like everybody says, like, you know, be creative and, you know, book the job and work your ass off to be creative. But I think it's also important to realize that a lot of people don't have that, you know, financial freedom. I think we need to really establish that. Like, look, I can post my silly little funny Instagram videos on my stories all day long. I don't get paid for any of that. I just like to do it because it's funny. I am funny, okay? I can post my unhinged tweeting like I have been for the past 10 plus years on that app, mind you. I've been on Twitter being crazy and silly and also just, you know, being silly and stupid on there just for shits and giggles and people following me for that. Like, for me being Peruvian, one, and two, being Latina and stuff like that, following other Latinos in question and just, like, you know, everyone else in that demographic, but also people following me for my genuine funny tweets and shit for whatever reason y'all decide to follow me on Twitter for. But at the end of the day, it's like I don't get paid for any of that. I've never even thought about it for the longest time. Like, years and years and years have passed and I never thought about getting paid for it once, you know? Like, those are the things where you have to look into the perspective of, like, I've been doing this for so long creatively. Maybe you've been painting your whole life and you didn't even realize that you loved it that much. Maybe you've been painting since you were like a kid, right? And you just did it because you loved to do it. You liked doing it. Because let's be real, it's time we be honest. Not everything that you do as a hobby needs to make money, needs to be monetized. If you choose to do that, by all means, absolutely. You should definitely be getting paid for working a job. If you're going to talk about dance, you're overworking your body for 8 hours a day if you're on tour, for every day, except maybe like the weekend or like up until Saturday, Monday through Saturday. Eight hour rehearsals for however many songs if you're on tour for whatever artist in question, every week for months. For months, bro. And you're traveling on top of that, and you still have to do your, like, normalcy and stuff like that. Is it possible? Of course. A lot of dancers do it. Is it terrifying to think about it? Yes. But also, the human body can do a lot of things. The human mind can tolerate a lot of things. It's just also a matter of how you decide to balance it all. We can go into that another day. But my point is that I've been dancing for so long when I was younger, I never thought of it as a career. Like, I never visited that as often as I should have when I was little. Do you know how many dancers I've met that are like, they've been training since like they came out the womb and they only know that? And that's all they know. That's all they've been doing their whole life, bro. I think to me, that's kind of scary. I think that's, or you've done one creative field your whole life or industry that you know, like one creative hobby essentially your whole life. And that's all you've known. That's all you've worked towards. Not a bad thing, I would say. But also, I feel like it's also scary that you don't discover what else is out there. And like I said, as I'm be creative, you can also just, like, you know, see what's out there. Maybe you like law. Who knows? Maybe you do. But you also like being a dancer or being an artist and being a digital artist even. You know, just whatever create feel it is. Like, two things can be true at once. People like to separate the two. And it's like, no. If I wanted to take in sports, like, let's say I wanted to become a soccer player, right? Just overnight. My athleticism from dance would help me in enormous ways if I chose to do that, because everything is connected, bro. Everything is connected. Everything. Do you know how much I've learned in regards to myself and life by just being in amazing rooms with people and amazing choreographers and mentors and dancers that teach and stuff like that? Like, I had class, like, I had dance last night, and it was Thursday. What am I saying? I had dance last night with the teacher, Julian. Let me actually pull up his Instagram because I can't pronounce his last, or no, I don't remember his last name. I know he's Latino, but like, I don't, hold on. Julian. Oh my God. There's no way his last name is Chinchilla. That's so funny. Or Chinchilla. Sorry. Julian Chinchilla. If I'm saying it right, I don't think he's ever going to listen to this, but the way that man can move his body, dude, his fucking footwork. It was like, oh my God, bro, let me like leave right now. Like when he was showing the choreography, I was like, dog, I'm gonna be real, my feet can't work like that. Can they one day? Sure, but not today, for sure. Like not tonight, not at, you know, 6 p.m. in the middle of this dance studio. No, no, like not today, but damn. Like, and he's been like just someone I have been following, like, you know, as of Thursday when I first met him and took his class. I went on his Instagram. I've never seen someone with such insane footwork, bro. The mind and body connection, dude. I personally think I have at least a pretty solid foundation of mind and body connection. I think it's pretty well compared to other people. Like when I'm at the gym, I don't be on my phone like that. I don't got time to be on my phone, bitch. I gotta work on fucking focusing my glutes to my hamstrings and like making sure if I'm doing a Bulgarian split squat that it's going in my ass basically and not everywhere else or my hamstring. My mind and body connection is a little too busy to be lurking around on my phone. The only time I look at my phone at the gym is when I'm changing a song and whatnot. That's the most I do it. But if I'm going on the Stairmaster, I'm gonna be on my phone, be honest. The whole session I'm not on my phone, but when I'm on the Stairmaster, bitch, don't judge me, I be on my phone for 20 minutes straight. Like, but anyways, nonetheless, like, yeah, I think me personally, I have a pretty good sense of mind and body connection. But I feel like Mr. Julian in question that I just mentioned, he's got it down to a T that I just want to be inside his brain. Because when he was showing us the choreography, I was like, dude, I want to crawl into your brain right now. Like, I want to know where the fuck your brain is and how your body and your mind are all working together in this time right now. Like, what the fuck? Oh my God, dude. Like, holy shit. Like, I'm gonna obviously link him below if y'all want to just see cool dancing. You don't have to be a dancer and whatnot. If you're not even a creative, that's also fine. But, dog, I, like, yo. In that moment, I was like, I don't know if I want to work with you or if I envy you. No, I'm kidding. I don't envy him. But in that moment, I was like, oh, do I want to work with him? Or am I just in a trance and I think that he's so talented, I like just don't deserve to be here. He was doing us the choreography, he was like showing us, I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go because I clearly have a long way to go, my guy. Oh wow. But nonetheless, you know, I think that's it. Actually, there's so much, like there's so many layers to creativity as a whole, and I think that's really all I can have for today. You know, I just feel like that the only thing I hope that y'all take from this is that, like, don't just remain neutral when it comes to the work that you do in regards to creativity. Put it into the universe or whatever higher power you believe in. Let it be taken care of. Just like think of it as like you send an email, right? We all hate them. We all hate sending emails. We all fucking hate them, especially if you're emailing someone like a work-related person that you hate. Oh my God. Been there, bro. It sucks. Like you're the boss you hate, you know, or the mentor that you just don't like, you know, like just someone that you're forced to work with and you just don't like them and they don't like you, you know. It's like very clear in the workplace that you can tell whether it's remote, hybrid, or just in person. Think of it as like an email. The work that you do as a creative, just think of it as you're sending an email. You're sending an email, like maybe let's say at like 4 p.m. before you get off work, if you're gonna get off work at 5 p.m. You leave it out in the universe, you let the person read the damn email. It's a Friday, and let's say that that's the point of view in question. You send the email at like 4:30 before you're off, the final email of the day. You let whoever the email you sent it to deal with that problem, deal with that email in question, while you clock out early and you go to, you know, get some margaritas with the girls. That, my friend, is how you stay occupied. That's how you stay unbothered. That's how you stay neutral. You know, remain neutral in the work that you do, because obviously whatever is meant to be will find you. And I feel like that's been happening to me recently, to close off. Like, I feel like my biggest goal, or my two biggest goals right now that I really want to work on in regards to creative industry, I have so many, but I think the primary ones in question are, one, I really want to bring Peruvian culture more to LA. I feel like Peruvians are in LA, but they're so hidden. It's so hard to find them. And I really just want to work with other Peruvian creators and creatives in general, because it's like, I want to be known for bringing that culture here. You know, I feel like that's something I have to do. I live in California, LA primarily, LA County, which is primarily Central American dominated. And I love the cultures, but I really want South America to have its time, and I want the country in question to be Peru because I'm Peruvian. And also, it's really hard to find good Peruvian food out here, mind you. It's hard, okay? And the only place I know, it's the only place I know, you know? It's like, I'm very picky with my Peruvian food. I also want to dive into that one day and like Peruvian cuisine, being in a restaurant. And like, I feel like that's later on in life though. I definitely want to open a restaurant just like later in life. Definitely not right now, not for the next like 10 plus years. I think that maybe when I'm like 35, a little bit older, like I definitely want to dabble into, you know, food industry and stuff like that. But right now it's not for me. I know fashion's on there as well. I know that just fusing dance, creative direction, and fashion is like a big goal for me, and finding that intricacy, like that deadpan, like connection is like what I'm like craving, I'm starving for, you know? But the second thing, aside from bringing Peruvian culture to LA, is I want to creative direct a fashion show one day and incorporate dance in some way and stuff like that. And I already know who I would hire. Like, these things are very real, bro. Like, your dreams are not as unattainable as you think they are. But yeah, that's all I can really say. Just remain neutral. Believe that you can do this and the money will follow. Believe me. The money always follows, bro. And for me, I think that I know that the money will follow and whatever I do, but it's a matter of it being consistent is what I'm worried about. But that's another story for another time. But nonetheless, y'all, it is cold these days, so stay warm. Remember, don't forget what's going on in the world, because as we got to talk about creativity today, there are people that only can picture that in their mind, but they don't really believe that they can actually do it, you know? Circumstance is very important. And I know it can be very disheartening when, you know, you're in a really tough spot economically, financially, circumstance-wise, like other people in the world that are going through war and conflict and stuff like that. It's probably very hard for them to stay positive and real, but it's like your work will reach them if it's what it's for, and you will inspire someone else, you know? If that's not your main purpose, bro, like I think I will really finalize with, if your purpose to be creative is for money, I'm here to tell you right now, dog, you're not gonna get any because you don't deserve it. Make room for people that are actually creatives, that actually would die for the craft that they work towards, because they deserve that spotlight more than you. If you are only aiming to be famous and have money and like all that bullshit that comes with it, it's like, yeah, that's fun. Who's to say it isn't? I'm not going to sit here and say I would love to not be famous and rich and stuff like that. But that's like where you lose me a bit, because it's like that's a lot of responsibility. One, all right, responsibility is a very complicated concept, y'all. And I need you guys to realize responsibility is not always the best thing. Sure, being responsible is important, but taking on responsibilities, multiple at that, even scarier. But I'm here to tell you right now, dog, if your biggest dream in life is to be rich and successful off of creativity, I'm here to tell you right now, you're never going to make money and you don't deserve it either. Make room for actual creatives that have some shit to say, that have whatever it is that you need to say, whatever that looks like. Okay. That's all I can really say. That's like where I will really end. But thank you guys. I hope you guys are staying warm and staying active and just really following your dreams. 2024 is around the corner. Start drafting up those goals and just realizing and analyzing your accomplishments this year, especially. Always give yourself a hug virtually or emotionally or a mental one and stuff like that. But I love y'all. Take care of yourselves. Bye.